things that are distractions to the saints. So if ever there's a time that we need Jesus, we need him now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you got to excuse me. I'm following my nurse and doctor's orders. I'm sitting this deep. Now I don't know how long I'm going to stay in it. Because I tend to get a little excited. So, I'm going to start off this way. Amen?
Amen.
You all don't mind, do you?
No.
You know, this has been a tough week in the family with all the things that are going on. I don't know if you all have people that are sick in your family, but it's trying on the family, isn't it? It's trying on the saints. It's trying on those who believe. It's trying on those who don't believe. But faith is what separates us. Faith is what makes the difference. And I believe that through any situation, whether it turns out like you hope for, or it turns out the other way, God always has a reason and a plan. Amen. And I'm going to tell you one thing I've learned. That is to trust in Jesus. To trust in how he does things. And trust in what the plan he has for our lives. You know, I usually wait a long time to tell you my message, but I guess I'm going to keep down with this. But today's message is called Fighting Temptation. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some things that I consider temptations in my life. I'm not perfect. Now, whether you will admit that you're not perfect, that's up to you. Amen?
Amen.
How many perfect people out there? I'm just checking. You know, I know I'm not perfect. And you can ask my wife. She'll tell you that I'm not perfect. And you can ask my kids. And they'll tell you that I'm not perfect. But I need to ask you a question. Are you perfect? And the other question I want to ask you is, and you don't have to answer me, you can just think about it. What is your weakness? I mean, what is the thing that if it's in front of you, or if you know that you can have access to it, or you can allow it to happen, could cause you to give in? Are you thinking about it right now? Are you thinking about that thing? There is something in all of us that we have struggled with. There's something that is a trial in all of us. And we don't always admit to these things. But is there something that you're thinking about right now that if it was in front of you, cause you to fall. Will cause you to slip up. Now, as much as you may want to believe that in your heart that you've overcome every single thing, you know, as a Christian, you know, super Christian, that you've overcome every single thing, and I mean sometimes under the right or the wrong conditions, the temptation for that thing might be great. You have something like that in your life? You don't have to answer me. You can just think about it. Keep it to yourself. But is there something in your life that you won't tell somebody that you struggle with? Amen? We have a fight on our hands with these things. We fight for our jobs, we fight for our spouse, our kids, our moms, and our dads, We fight for our sisters and our brothers. We fight for our friends. We fight for our finances. We fight for our houses, our cars, and our clothes. And all these things are things we fight for every day, that we worry about, that we strive for every day, even for our sanity. There are things that we fight for just by living. But I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that when you think of it, the struggle that we have with these things is real. Everybody, the unjust and the just, we struggle. We fight for these things. Now, I want you to pay no attention to what people might say about your struggle, because people have an opinion about your struggle. If you tell them, people will give you advice. They'll tell you what they think you should do about your temptations. They'll tell you what they think that you should do about the things that you fight for and that you struggle with. But the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust all the same. We're just fighting temptations. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, O God, because you are our help. You are the one that showed us the way that we should go. You are the one who helps us through our adversities, O God. You are the one that helps us, O God, when we're not quite there yet. You are the one that helps us, O God, when our families and our friends and our lives aren't quite like we want them to be. But God, I thank you because you help us.
Yes.
I thank you because your Spirit helps us and keeps us, O God. Be with us today. Be with us, Lord, because we need you like never before. I pray, O God, that today somebody will have a chain that falls off of them. That a struggle that they have in their life, they will realize that you are the answer, O God.
Yes.
I pray, O God, that they will see that your word, O God, is the instruction manual for their lives. And that salvation, O God, is the thing we need. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we hear testimonies all the time of how people have overcome their adversity. We have a sister here that overcame cancer. Amen?
Amen.
We have people that have overcome things that they didn't think that they would make it out of. But they had God on their side.
Right.
And that's so important. But do you know how many people that would sit among us that God is not the first thing that they would, the first person they would go to when they have problems? It's not the first person they turn to when adversity sets in.
Right.
But I just want you to know that that is where all of us should go first. You know, we speak about good days, and good days are good. But things happen to us, and we don't always know why. But God is the answer. Our scripture today is found in James 1, 12 through 16. And it reads, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast unto trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. The thing that tempts you, in some cases, may be small. Amen? May even not be sin at all. You know, like I like Oreo cookies and I just slipped a few days ago. I knew I wasn't supposed to have them, but they were there, they looked so good, and I was doing good all week long, and it was my little temptation, and I had it anyway and paid for it the next morning. Amen? Mm-hmm. We all have little things like that we know we're not supposed to do. But the thing may not even be said at all, like I said, but there are things that we don't tell other people. There are things that we might be ashamed to say. But God is the answer. The word tells us that we have to be steadfast. But first, you need to be saved. Amen? You have people who are asking for God to help them, and they're not even in the family of God. They haven't given their life to Him. You want God to answer you, you have to give your life to Him. You have to be saved if you need God on your side. You have to belong to Him and not belong to the ruler of this world.
Yes.
Do you want God's help? Do you want God on your side? Well, I'm going to tell you what you have to do. I'm going to tell you what you need to know. And I'm going to tell you why you need to know it. Then we should probably talk about what you need to do.
All right.
Amen?
Amen?
1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But the temptation will also provide the way of escape, that ye may be able to endure. God is good.
Yes.
God is good because He never puts you in a situation that He can't get you out of.
Talk about it.
Amen?
Talk about it.
God, as a matter of fact, is not the one that puts you in a situation. A lot of times, we put ourselves in those situations.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
No matter what it is that you're going through, our God is able to bring you through it. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
Trial, temptation, a snare, the trap that the enemy has laid in your path, God has a way out for you.
Right.
That is because He looks out for His children. Family? Can I call you family?
Amen.
Can I call you all family?
Amen.
It's good to be in the family.
Amen.
Is it good to be in the family?
Amen.
It's good to be in the family.
Because
God helps us family. If you're not giving your life to God fully, I want you to do it today. Now is the time to do it. I want you to be in the family if you're not in the family. If you're listening to me today and you have not fully dedicated your life to Christ, this is your opportunity. Because He takes care of His own. There's a gospel that people are preaching today, like you could just live any way you want, only you gave your life to Him once, and then you could go off and run about and do all the things you've been doing, and slip and whatever you want to do, but that's not how it works. That's not how it works with God. No matter what your past was, no matter what your present is, or how bad it is, repentance is for you. And I want to dispel a myth that Lucifer the devil is not in competition with God. He's not. Because he's not God's equal. Amen? He's not God's equal. That means he's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere, so you can't blame him for everything you go through. Right? He fell from heaven. As a matter of fact, he was kicked out of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So if he was so bad, why was he kicked out of heaven? Amen?
Amen.
He took a third of the angels of his cronies with him. Now if he wants to get to you, yes, he sends his cronies, his little devils to tempt you. But they can't make you sin. They can't make you do wrong. They can't make you change your mind. They can't make you do anything. They can put it in front of you. They can do a whisper to you. They can tempt you with things. But you are the one that makes the decision to do the things that you do. Your carnal nature, the lust of your flesh, that's what makes you do the things you do. That even goes for the saints of God. Even the people who are saved, who have the Holy Ghost, sometimes have things in their life that they ignore. They have things in their life that they overlook. And I don't want you to be caught in a snare. If you have the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God in your life, you have the thing that you need and the key to bring you through.
Right.
And there's another thing, that God is definitely not the one who tempts you.
That's right. No.
God is not the one who set the snare for you. God is not the one who set the trap for you. We read it in the scripture. So you can't blame it on God either. And I hear people, you know, say little things like that. And I don't know if they know what they're saying.
Right.
I don't even know if they understand what they're saying. But never was it God that did it. Now God will use the situation to do something inside of you. God will use the situation to make you stronger, to make you more prayerful, to make you more faithful, and to help you tune into the Holy Spirit if you let it. But there are those that choose otherwise. And what I'm talking to you today about, my friends, is that temptation comes with just the little things. Temptation befalls us when we least expect it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have God on our side, if we stay prayed up, if we are part of the family, mm-hmm. then you have the help that you need to overcome anything. Now, the reason I want you to know that you must be saved is because of the promise of God. The promise that he won't put more on you than you can bear. That he won't put more on you than you can handle. That he would make a way of escape. And the other reason, the other thing I want you to know is that the devil cannot make you sin. He can't make you fall.
Right.
Now, if I be truthful with you, if you be truthful with yourself, so that you can let God do something inside of you, you have to call on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to let Jesus take over.
Come on, that's
in
right.
your life.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you think you're saved, but yet you slip here and there, and you let it pass, and you let it go, and you let it slide, and you think nobody saw you, and you think nobody knows, you have to go back to your first love.
Right.
You have to go back to the person and the one who will redeem you.
That's right.
And who will save you. And that's calling on Jesus' name. And I don't want you to let little things, little desires, little sins, little traumas, little troubles cause you to slide into a life of sin, into sin, or let it sin into your life. Romans 6:12-14 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you,
right,
since you are not under law, but under grace."
Amen.
Sin has no dominion over you in Jesus Christ. That is why he died for you. That is why he rose. That is why he left you a comforter. And all you have to do is repent and be renewed, a new creation, a new creature, a brand new you.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
You must be baptized in water. You must be baptized in the Spirit, brought from death unto life. You, my saved and Spirit-filled brothers and sisters, a vision of a bad thing could be your roadblock. A small desire could be your roadblock. Anger and frustration could lead you to fall. Unchecked pride that starts off small, even for a good thing that you are doing or that you've done, could lead to a down slippery slope. This means that you could be doing all the right things, but when your heart turns to pride, even in that good thing that you're doing, you can find yourself slipping into something. And the Bible says pride comes before what?
Destruction.
Right? You have to guard yourself against this. Unchecked pride that starts off small can lead to something big. And we have to work on it today.
Mm-hmm.
Do the right thing. And do the right thing now.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, those that call themselves Christians who show up on Sunday and we're back in sin on Monday, it's a slippery slope. These are things that can happen to us easily.
Right.
Amen? You don't want your time to run out and be cut off on a Monday. Amen? You don't want that day that you choose to let things slip and slide be the day that your life is over. Be the day that God takes you out of here. That's why we have to pray daily. We have to seek him daily. We have to search for him and stay prayed up. And that is why you have to be a prayer warrior. That's why you have to be a worshiper. You have to be the one that knows God's word, and God's word is in your heart.
Amen.
You can't do it on your own. And if you try to do it on your own, you find yourself in a place where you're stuck.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I don't like being stuck. Have you ever been stuck? Have you ever found that you were in a place where, or in a rut where you couldn't get yourself out? So, I tell you, brothers and sisters, you fail not to assemble yourselves, because that's what the Bible says. He says that when two or three are gathered together, that he'll be a God in the midst.
Right.
You know, that's why we come here on Tuesdays and pray. That's why we come here on Wednesdays, and we're at the soup kitchen on Wednesdays, and the children are next door on Wednesdays. We're there for a reason, to study the word together, but it's also the fact that you're together. It's the fact that you're not standing alone. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. And he was the Good Shepherd for a reason. You know, David said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. The shepherd provides for his sheep. And he also said that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because your shepherd protects you. Your shepherd keeps you with the flock. We are Jesus' flock. And the flock isn't a flock if we're all scattered. We must stand together in faith. We must stand together to help one another. We are able to keep each other from falling into temptation. There's so many things right now that we fight by ourselves. And there's so many things that we fight the world on today. There's so many things that can be a temptation to you. The things that once were sin in your life, the things that once were things in your life that you thought that you got rid of, they creep up on you at moments and times when you didn't think that they were going to even be a problem to you.
That's right.
Worry can let them set in. Trials of life and things with your family can let them set in. But we have to be with the Good Shepherd because he's able to keep you from falling. Being with your brothers and sisters at these moments and these times, that's how you get through. You want to hear from God. You want to be able to hear from God. You know, I hear people say all the time, you know, you hear some people that say that I'm spiritual. I'm not religious or I don't believe in religion and I don't prescribe to some church or I don't go to church because I don't need to. I'm spiritual. What spirit are they of?
Right.
I want you to ask them, what spirit is that? And how deep is that spirit? And does that spirit reveal God's word to you? And since you're so spiritual, how do you overcome hardship and trials? And you know, it's those people, they're the people that come to you when they got a problem. Amen? They come to you because they see something in you. They see Christ in you. They see an overcomer in you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because you are an overcomer. You fight trials and you fight temptation because you have the word inside of you. Because you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because you gave your life to him. And I want to say to anybody that has not been baptized, when is the time that you're going to give this dedication to God? When are you going to have the power of God flow freely in your life? That's what is needed for this day and time. That's what is needed. It makes me want to scream when I hear people say that they're spiritual. It makes me wonder, what is it that they're really spiritual? What are they really doing? Do they have the answers to their hard questions and when they're troubled in their mind? When they have problems with their family? But that's a time for us to believe this. That's a time for us to speak the truth. That's a time for us to tell the trials and the temptations we went through. And how God has helped us to overcome. I don't want you to let this moment go by when they tell you they're spiritual. I want you to witness to them. And tell them of the goodness of Jesus. Because there's so many right now who are led astray by the preaching and the teaching that is going on in our world. A world that tells them that it is okay to make the word fit their life and not their life fit the word of God. It is so easy to fall into this. But you, my friends, must know the word of God yourself. And you must understand how it applies to your life. I know that many of us pray at home, and we pray to ourselves. Is that enough? Is it just enough? Is it what you want? Is just enough of what you want for your life? Is just enough going to help you when you feel so pressed that you don't even know your right from your left? You don't even know what you're going to do next? When you don't understand what is happening to you, and you pray alone. I want to encourage you today to come down to the church. Come down and pray with your brothers and your sisters. You'll find out that the power of God is moving. That the power of God is helping us overcome our trials.
Yes.
The power of God is helping us overcome the things that are pressing on our mind. The power of God is helping us overcome temptation. You know, I'm not speaking to you today with a fiery message. But the truth is, sometimes you need to listen and hear that God working in you in a still small voice. He's working in you through your brothers and your sisters. He's working in you to help you with the small things that creep in. He's helping you overcome the little things in your life. Because we overlook the little things. We overlook them. We let it go by, we let it pass by. My old pastor, when I was young, he used to tell me that it's the small fox that destroys the vine.
That's right.
You might not think this is important, what I'm telling you, but I want you to understand that the small things cause a good saint to fail.
Right.
The small temptations in your life cause a good man and a good woman start questioning your faith. Start doubting and forgetting what God has done for them. And I don't want that to happen to you. I want you to understand that you are part of the flock. That God, the good shepherd, is on your side. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Your flesh, the desires of it, can tear you down sometimes. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we've had enough. Sometimes frustration is your enemy. Sometimes the anger, the things that happen in your life. You could have a spouse that's not honest with you. You could have a friend that turns out not to be your friend. You could have a loved one who just won't understand this Christian thing that you do. You could have someone who was sick in your life, but they won't hear you speak of faith and God healing them. And it begins to tear at you. It begins to tear at your soul. It begins to tear at your faith. Because you begin to question, God, why don't they hear me? Why can't I overcome this thing? Why is this thing holding me back? And I want you to hear this today. And I want you to hear me clearly. Repentance never stops.
Amen.
Deliverance never stops.
Amen.
Do I get to get loud now? Deliverance never stops.
That's right.
God is always in the blessing business.
Amen.
God is always keeping you.
Yes.
God is always sustaining you.
Yes, he is. Right.
You have trouble on every side, but you are not destroyed.
Right.
You have trouble that comes at you from places you didn't expect, but you are not torn down. Because God is building up something inside of you. Just as trouble is quiet, you need to let the Spirit of God and the Word of God start to build something up inside of you.
Amen.
That little seed that was planted at the size of a mustard seed of faith, it needs to continue to grow inside of you. Faith grows and grows and grows and becomes something more than you ever expected. It becomes powerful in your life. You begin to speak things in faith and act in faith, and your mind begins to change and you begin to see things differently. Temptation. 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 You handled it one way, but Jesus, when he was tempted, even after 40 days of fasting, it was masterful. And what did he use? He used the Word of God.
Yes.
He used his instruction manual. Just like you should. So if you don't know your Word, I implore you to know your Word. But not just know your Word. Not just read your Bible. I hear that many of you read your Bibles every year. But do you know how to use that Word? Do you know how to use that Word to get through your adversities and get through your troubles and your trials, to help your family, to help the people you come in contact with? That's what the Word is for. Not just to help you. Not just to help you make it through, but to teach others. Because your life is a living example of it. Your life is an embodiment of it. The Word becomes you. It must become you. It has to become you. But why have you been walking so long and not learned how to use the Word of God? Not learned how to use the power that God has given you? I think that you have more on your side than you think you have.
That's right.
My brother, that's right.
I think that you can run a devil off by just the Word that is in you and the Spirit that is attached to that Word. I think that if you don't think you're an overcomer today, then you should be down at this altar and the Spirit of God renewed in your life, getting it renewed and on fire in your life, so that the Word that is in you, the Word that you're learning, power. Because we're all fighting temptation. Yes, we are. And that's never going to stop. It's not going to stop until the day you leave this life.
That's right.
Jesus said so. But you are overcomers through him. You have the power to overcome everything that is trying to tear you down. Use every situation as a lesson. I've learned that. I've learned it the hard way, sister. I've learned it the hard way, brother. I've learned it the hard way. How many of you have learned that lesson? That God is teaching you something through every situation in your life. And I want you to be overcomers in him. Because you can fight temptation, you can fight trials, you can fight anything. And you don't have to fight alone. Your brothers and sisters are heroes.